How many of you lose things like I do? Like put things on the top of your car or your bike or whatever and drive off? I tend to do that. Or I put stuff in my house and I can't find it. How many of you ever pray for those things to be found? It works. I walk around the house, I start getting angry and you start getting tense. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute. Lord, where is it? Can you help me with this? And usually when you do that, within, it seems like just a minute or two, there it is. You know, he takes you right to it. But God can do practical things as well. Today we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is no spook, boogie boogie. He's not freakish. He is the personality of God, and that's a pretty cool thing. Our Father, our Heavenly Father. That's right now, this is his time on planet Earth to help us. Jesus came. Jesus did his job. Jesus completed, said it was finished. And then he says, I go that another may come. He says, I have to. It's better for you that I do. I'm going to send you the counselor, the comforter, the advocate, the friend, the Holy Spirit. And he's going to do something revolutionary in your life. And I believe that with all my heart. That's why we sang songs today like Let It Rain. We're not talking about that kind of rain. We're talking about the rain of the Holy Spirit. We're asking for God to pour out his Spirit upon us, his sons and daughters, that we might be more like him and that we might be able to do the things he tells us to do, because he will empower us with that. He does not, you know, the cool thing about God, he doesn't tell you to do something and go, okay, figure that one out. You know, it's more like God empowers you to do the very thing he's given you to do. You know, he's not a frustrated ruler in heaven. He's a loving father that wants his children to succeed. One of my favorite verses, a good one to memorize, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Not plans for your destruction, but for your hope, your success, your future. That's pretty cool. I know that's the Bible says, I know the plans I've got. But you need to seek me, and I'll share those things with you. So I'm excited about today because I believe the Holy Spirit is going to come and he is going to touch some of your lives. We prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, infilling Holy Spirit, whichever you like to call it, only once here. And several people received that gift. And I'm excited because I know what the Holy Spirit has done in my life. And you know, when you're excited about something, it's hard to keep quiet. And I really get jazzed talking about the Holy Spirit because it's the one thing that God says, look, today you need it, and today I've got plans, and he's the one that's going to help you do it. And anything that helps me be successful, I'm all about. I don't know about you. I don't want to run around just to fall down. I want to run around to reach the goal. And goal is clearly drawn, and the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to be giving us the water bottles on the way in the race. You know, in Luke's gospel, he writes about all that Jesus began to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you recognize the power of the Holy Spirit when it came on Jesus when he was baptized in the river with John. It came as a dove. That's when Jesus began to be activated to do miracles. It was the power of God to do miracles. Yes, he was the Son of God, but he was anointed at that time and empowered to do the very things. He knew he had a job to finish, and only that would help him do it. And so now in Acts, Luke continues to write how his followers of Jesus moved in that same anointing. Now, as I was going through my notes, I realized how many times the word same came up. Same. Identical. Parallel. Synonymous. I mean, we can come up with all kinds of, but that same anointing that his disciples moved in, Jesus moved in and was transferred to the disciples. That same anointing or power of the Holy Spirit, what? To declare the good news of salvation, doing those same miracles and living the same life, same life as Jesus, the same life. You see, it's not enough, is it, to get our badge of honor. Oh, Jesus, come in, forgive me. You know, I'm going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, I'm speaking in tongues. I've got all this power. God says I do. Then we go out and we live our life like trash. and trash the name of Jesus. No. We have to live the same life too. Now, that may not be easy, but God says He'll help us. If we will just be hungry, and if we will focus on Him and get our eyes off of our silly selves and onto the needs of others and onto His plan and purpose for our life, which is, by the way, what's my plan and purpose? If you read the Bible, there are a lot of plans and purposes in there you don't even need to pray about. You just do them. It's kind of duh, you know? And then there's the other kind that you say, you know, if I really get close to the Lord, He's going to speak to me. And He's going to share personal, private things that He wants to accomplish in my life. I believe that too. Same life as Jesus. And from His account in Acts, we can conclude decisively that the Holy Spirit desires to reproduce the life of ministry of Jesus through His church, the same then and the same today. The same. You know, I think we run into danger when we read the Bible and we treat it like it's some piece of archaeological evidence. Some dusty crud that was pulled out of a cave that was found in a jar and meant something to somebody long ago that we can't relate to. And the truth is, that thing's alive. That thing is living. It's not a piece of furniture that you put on your coffee table that you can set your glass on so it doesn't leave a ring on your precious wood. It's living and active, the Bible says. Sharper than a double-edged sword. It's able to do what it says it can do. And when we read it, we start to believe it for our life. Look out. Because things change. And you realize that 12 guys had the power to change everything. And that's why we're here today. I don't know how many there are here, 90 of us do. I mean, think about it. All under the same power, the same influence of God, the Holy Spirit. And when I say God, I'm saying the Holy Spirit is God. It's His personality that He's functioning through right now in our lives. And just a little recap from last week. We talked about Acts 1, 4 through 5. Those of you, how many weren't here last week? Can I just see? Okay. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. And you've heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we talked about Joel, the prophecy in Joel 2, where the Holy Spirit outpouring was prophesied. Way before any of this happened, He said, your sons and daughters will prophesy. You know, your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I mean, okay. And then we also talked about Matthew 3:11. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance. This is John the Baptist saying this. But after me comes one, talking about Jesus, more powerful than I am, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. In Acts 1:8, it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Hey, say this with me, but instead of saying you, put the word I in there. Ready? But I will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on me, and I will be witnesses in Maastricht, in the Netherlands, and to all the ends of the earth. Okay? Well, that's translated to today. And we have to read the word that way, because if not, it like doesn't become relevant. It's like, yeah, whatever. When God says, this is important stuff. If we don't get this down, we're going to get hurt, you know? I like this video I showed the other day. Guy's talking. He says, Jesus was telling him, don't leave Jerusalem until you've been baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit, because you're going to mess things up. And I think that's us, you know? You could be like me in the kitchen, you know, cooking, and there's stuff everywhere when I'm done, you know? It's like, without the Holy Spirit, Leslie, I mess things up. You know, she comes in and says, you're going to leave that there? You know? I guess not, you know, no. This infilling or baptism in the Holy Spirit was to be a sign and dynamic mark of the followers of Jesus. It was a sign of that they had been touched by Jesus, that they were followers of Jesus. In Acts 2, you know, we read the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost and they were all together in one place. They'd been praying, they'd been believing. Jesus told them to be there, not to leave Jerusalem without the Holy Spirit. Suddenly a sound like a blowing violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole place where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that came to rest upon each of them, and they were all of them. I like that word all. That's so inclusive. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. In John 16, 7, well, let me say it again. This truth, Jesus is talking. It's better for you that I leave. If I don't, the friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he'll expose the error of the godless world's view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their sin, their basic root sin. That righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father, out of their sight and control, and that judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted. So the ministry of the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, has not diminished. It has not passed away, and it's designed to continue to minister in the same power that Jesus exhibited. You know, this next verse overwhelms me. It's John 14, 12. You have it? Don't have John 14, 12. Well, I will read it to you, because I have. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Jesus said that. That's pretty cool. That almost, you almost read that and feel ashamed, because it's like, you can't be meaning me, God. Jesus, you wait a minute, I read about the stuff you did. It's pretty big stuff. And you're saying greater things. I think he knew the impact we would have on the world would have a greater, broader, wider influence. He influenced hundreds, maybe thousands, but we can influence millions, billions, with the power of the same gospel under the influence and anointing of the Holy Spirit. You know, you read that, you say, you're kidding. I mean, Jesus, did you really mean this? Greater things? Didn't you raise dead people? I mean, you told Lazarus to come walking out of a tomb. They told you he was going to smell bad. 3 days in there is not a good thing. And when the stone comes away, I mean, he comes out not smelling bad, but healed and alive. Jesus, you mean, am I going to have a funeral home ministry, God, where I could go raise up dead people? I don't know. But Scott, did you really mean that, Lord? Well, then why aren't we seeing that more, huh? Why aren't we seeing those kinds of things? You know, it's like, great, we're talking about it, but are we not seeing it? Did God, like, dry up? Is he, like, tired? Did he give up on that whole idea? We read the Bible. Did Jesus heal the sick? Huh? Did he deliver people trapped in bondage to the demonic powers? Yes, he did. Did he raise the dead? Yeah, we just talked about it. Did he do miracles where there was a severe need? Yes, yes. Did he display supernatural gifts? I think so. On all counts, yes, yes, yes. And he said this would continue to be done in his church. So it's done. He said it. I believe it. And that settles it. And I hope we have the same, but we're connected with that. Because I think the things God wants to do out here are divinely connected to how we respond to him today in the Holy Spirit. Small churches can move mountains in his name. Big churches can move mountain ranges. But you got to start somewhere. So you ask, how can this be? What's wrong with, why are we not seeing this today? What do we need to do to position ourselves for this kind of ministry, Jesus, that you said we should walk in? This should be the normative, the norm. Should be normal. You know, I know some people, well, I don't go to that church. They speak in tongues, and I see them lay hands on people. I saw one fall down once even, and they prophesy. Ooh, it's spooky. It's like, really? I mean, God showing up is weird? The Bible says this is normal. That people that are marked with the sign of the Holy Spirit, these things aren't abnormal. This is normal. We're abnormal because we reduce him to our pocket. And God says, I'm so much bigger than you. Don't diminish me like that. I got things to do. Don't hold me back. But work with me. Huh? Work with me. So, some of the ways we can position ourselves. We need to realize, number one, it's possible because Jesus, the Son of God, said it. We really need to realize it's available to anyone who has made Jesus their Lord and Savior. How many here have asked Jesus to come in your life and you know you've been forgiven and born again? Okay. You must be hungry for more of God. Not just like, I'll think about it, take it or leave it. No, don't bother. Because you're not going to do anything if you had it. You got to be motivated, you know? You've got to be hungry. I don't know about you, but when I'm hungry, I mean like physically hungry, and I'm at my house, I mean, you're going to have to put a padlock on that refrigerator. I'm going to find a way in it. And it's the same way, you know, get a gun or something, because I'm going to go there. And we need to be more hungry for the things of God. Seek for it and ask God to fill you, to infill you for not your glory, but His. And be willing to receive this baptism by faith. You know? By faith. So what's the purpose? That we might be empowered to make Jesus known to a lost world. That, you know, unfortunately people like to hear this, but the world is going to hell. Apart from Jesus. We can't escape that. That's declared. There's a heaven, there's a hell. Without Jesus, the world is going to hell. I say, oh, okay, it's one of those preachers. I don't have options here. There's not C and D to pick from. It's A or B, heaven or hell. And Jesus says, I want to empower you to reach them. There's no escaping that picture. We must realize the desperate need that people have, whether it be in Kenya or wherever it is, that we are messengers of hope with the authority of Christ behind us. You know, I got the chance to buy a new car, a year ago. Thank God for that, because the association I'm worked with in the USA, I work with, the Assemblies of God there, we have a program amongst youth groups there called Speed the Light. And they give offerings to help people like myself through like PA systems. That's teenagers bought that stuff. Car, bicycles, whatever it takes. And so, I mean, I'm blessed that they raised the money for me to have a car. Okay? And when I went shopping for the car, it's like, you're looking in the park, you know, the lot. You're looking at these different ones. So what's on this one? I mean, most of us, we're going to want air conditioning. I mean, unless you're really a diehard person. Air's nice. Air conditioning. A radio. CD player. Mm-hmm. Auxiliary jack. Uh-huh. USB player. Even better. Navigation. Yeah, that's handy. Especially if you've ever lived in Amsterdam. That's real handy. You know, and you go through these things, and it's like, and then they show you another car that maybe has absolutely nothing in it. Oh, it runs. Here's the key. You want to take for a drive? Not really. I mean, it runs. It has windows. It has some tires. No radio. Air conditioning is called sticking your head out the window. Now, they will both get you over here. But one's going to get you there a whole lot nicer. One's going to get you there with a whole lot more features. And it's going to be a whole lot more fun to get there in that one than this one. And that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. You see, we can get to heaven without the Holy Spirit. We can accept Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And yeah, the Bible says we can go to heaven that way. But why would we want to get there when God's got the other way to do it? And that's the way it is in our life. Why would we want to not have all that God has promised us, this fullness of the Holy Spirit? You know, I want my life to have echo. You know, I want to do the things for God under His power and in the fullness of the things that He has for me. You know, always when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, there are confusions that come up. One thing I've found, this is true. The devil, how many believe there is one? Okay. The devil, some of you are like, okay, he's there. The devil does not want you to know this. You can know that as a fact. The devil does not want you to receive anything from God. The devil does not want you to walk around in the power of the Holy Spirit. That becomes a threat to him, and he knows it. Why don't you? That's why I know some. Well, you know, I don't think God wants me to have it. Ding. Why? Why? No. I've been prayed for. Never got it for. No. Stop. All people. All. God wants to give it to us as His children. Or, well, I don't know if it's for me. No, it is for you. I'm afraid of what? Afraid of God, the one who loves you and made you? No. See, the devil wants to plant all these seeds of doubt and fear in our because it's the opposite of faith. He doesn't want us to get anything from God that's going to change out here and change us to change out there. And God says, I'm going to do that in your life. So, does the Holy Spirit infill or baptize you when you ask Jesus into your heart? Or you may say, I was already baptized, and then I was filled with the Holy Spirit. No, that's not the same. It's a separate experience. We are sealed in Christ with the seal of the Holy Spirit when we are born again. It says right there, you were included in Christ when you heard the message, this gospel of salvation. And when you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. So when we're born again, we're stamped with the seal of the Holy Spirit as a deposit. But that's a deposit. That's not the full payment, you know? That's a deposit. That's partial. And then in Acts 19, he's talking to some people, and he finds out, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. And no, they replied, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, you notice, they believe, but they don't know about the Holy Spirit. So, contradiction. Then what baptism did you experience, he asked, and they replied, the baptism of John. Paul said, good, that's John's baptism. It called for repentance from sin. But John himself told people to believe in the one who would come later, like we read, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. So it's a separate thing. Saying, well, I've been water baptized. Okay, great. But that's not what we're talking about today. That's a deposit. God's got the whole thing for you. Another thing is that, so we have two separate occurrences, and infilling is the next step God intended for believers to experience. And then another thing that people say, do I have to speak in tongues? What's this tongue thing? That even sounds goofy. It sounds weird. Speak in tongues, like blah, 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 blah. What is that? You know? Do I have to do that? I don't really want to look foolish. Well, it's not foolish. And the New Testament pattern we see is that all began to speak in tongues or another language that they did not know. And it could be an earthly language or it could be a heavenly language. In describing spiritual gifts, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, if I speak in tongues of men, earthly language, and angels, heavenly language, he says, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I'm a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. In other words, if I'm not motivated properly, this isn't good. But he's making a reference here. Tongues of men and angels. Tongues are a sign to us that we have been filled with this new power. And there again, the devil will try anything to lie to us, say that we haven't received anything good from God. One of the reasons that I think God wants us to speak in tongues when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, because the devil's a master liar, and he would like to come and say, what makes you think you got some? Just because somebody with sweaty hands laid their hands on you? They just got sweated on, that's all. But it's a sign. It's that mark that we go, wait a minute, no, I got some. I heard it in my own ears. I spoke it. God did something. So they're a sign. In Acts 10:44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers had come with Peter. They were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. So the Jews were like, what? God touches them too? For they had heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So how did they know that they were filled with the Holy Spirit too? Because they heard them speaking in tongues. 2 + 2 = 4. They put it together because they heard. You know, another thing that people get afraid of is, will I get weird and out of control if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? I mean, I've heard stories. People walking around like chickens, barking like dogs. You know, swinging from the chandeliers, running around the room, screaming their heads off. Really? Let me say this. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he's not in to make it. This is not like a seance. This is not, you know, this is not voodoo. This is God, who only knows how to give his children pleasant gifts. He doesn't want you to look foolish. But he does want you to be his child and to receive from him by faith everything he has for you. To trust him with that. To trust him with your life. You know, and one of the things too that comes up, there are tongues that have different capacities. And we'll talk about that on another day, because it's another time thing. It takes a lot of time to talk about that. But there is personal prayer language that strengthens the believer. Not meant to be interpreted, but just that you can pray in your private time or even together in prayer. But it's a personal prayer language. Then there's that public language that's given in a prophetic sense. Because if I stood up here and went, you know, like that, and people go, what's he talking about, Blanche? Well, someone like Keisha over here needs to stand up and say, the Lord says, you know, so we can understand it, right? So that's interpretation. The Bible says no more than 2 or 3 tongues like that in a public service, given like where it's obvious, like, la, 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 you know. And then you know that someone, that's God speaking to us. And God wants us to understand what he meant. Someone needs to be able to interpret. And then the other kind is spatial situations for evangelism. I remember I had a youth worker once, and we were in Costa Rica, and we were praying for people down there. During a end of a service time, praying for people. And she's praying in tongues over this person. She doesn't know what to pray. She can't speak Spanish. Just praying, you know, just believing God. And the woman starts talking to her in Spanish. And she goes, I don't speak Spanish. She goes, yes, you do. You just were speaking to me in Spanish. So God was speaking to her in the language she understood. You know, God can do that. There was a story. There was a guy named George in Vietnam War, and he was a Christian. And there was another guy, a Navajo Indian from the U.S., but you know, in battle with him. And John knew George was a Christian by the way he lived, which is the way it should be. But George was mortally wounded. I mean, he was going to die. And John ran over to him, and George's last words, he was speaking in tongues, and then he passed. But what George didn't know was he was speaking in perfect Navajo, Indian language, and was telling him he needed to get saved. And it impacted this John guy so much that the first thing he did when he got home was he wanted to find out who the God of George was. And he received Christ. See, God can do that kind of stuff. Isn't that cool? That God would care about someone so much that change someone's language, even in their last dying breath, that someone else might hear the truth. So the advantages of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, wow. because it's God's will. Top 10 reasons for being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's God's will. It's scriptural. And it's an experience given by Jesus. And you can look up these verses if you want to at home. It is commanded. It brings spiritual power to our lives. You know, he said they did many signs and wonders that were done by the apostles. And 5, it intensifies our desire to fulfill God's plan to reach this world. I love to see people come to Jesus. You hear me say that all the time. And this is one of the reasons. I love it. 6, God will intercede through us when we don't know what to pray. And if you look up those verses, it says when we don't know how to pray as we should, it said the Spirit will makes intercession for the saints according to the words of God. Praying in tongues brings comfort in trials. When you're going to situate, some of you, this exam's coming up, right? Okay, some of you are like, I can't breathe. You can pray in the Holy Spirit when you just don't know what else to pray, and you can let Him give you peace. Praying in tongues strengthens the believer. Person who springs and is strengthened personally, the one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. It builds us up. When we speak in tongues, God says, you're actually becoming stronger in me. The Spirit brings new confidence and boldness. The story in Acts, the boys were out preaching. They couldn't be shut up. And they were told they couldn't speak anymore. And instead of running away afraid, they said, God, give us more boldness to preach your word more clearly. And they were all filled again with the Holy Spirit. See, you can have more infillings. And I heard someone say, why do you need more? Because we leak. Sometimes we need, it's like your tires and your bike. Every now and then you got to go pump them back up. Where'd that air go? I don't know, but I need more. Spirit empowers with special abilities to accomplish His will on earth. And that is a fact. So, we're going to pray. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to do something in our lives. But know this. It's for everyone who knows Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. It's here for the asking. Jesus is the baptizer. It is received by faith, by speaking in tongues as a sign. And if you've been filled with the Spirit, you can be filled more. The devil does not want you to have it. You can know that. That's a good reason to want it. Decide the issue. You know what I mean? Some people come, well, I heard about this before. Yeah, crossing the arms. That's a death signal right there. That's called pride. Gets in the way. Fear, doubt, hesitation, kick it to the curb. Decide that no, I want everything God intended me to have. I'm not riding in the Fiat when I can ride in the Mercedes. Why would I do that? If I have a choice. Understand this. You do not have to be baptized in water first to be baptized or infilled in the Holy Spirit. You do need to be saved and hungry for more of God. You do need that. You should come with the expectation that Jesus wants to and will fill you. You know, that's why sometimes when I'm praying with people, I say, get your hands up. Don't, like, this stance. Like, go ahead, dare you, God. You know? No. Act like you're open for it. You know what I mean? Expect. Don't fight against God, but expect to get something. You need to cooperate Him by allowing you also to speak. I know people, they say, okay, did you get a new tongue happen? Nope. They're like this. Like God's going to come down with a clamp, the jaws of life, you know, and slap you on the back of the head. Ouch! That's not tongues. No. You know? No, you have to cooperate. It's a physical law. The air has to go over your vocal cords or no sound happens. It's just, we cooperate with God. God uses our personalities, by the way. And you also need to know this, that if you do not receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, says, I don't want to do that, don't think that that makes you a second-rate person. Don't think that this church is going to be like, you know, at you. That's not the case at all. We just want you to have everything God has for you. Doesn't make you, you know, prettier. Doesn't make it, you know, it just makes you more powerful to be used for God. And if you prayed and you've asked and not received, you need to ask again. And you need to know that the Holy Spirit is here to meet with you. That's the truth. How good is that? Well, that God actually cares. I want us to, if you would, you can stand. And would you play that for me? What we're going to do, we're going to allow you, if you are interested in being filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to ask you to come up here in a second, and we're going to pray for you up here. And I hope we have the whole thing full. Maybe everyone. I don't. It's fine. But I've asked several people to come up and help us pray. If you guys would come up. And these are people that are already filled with the Holy Spirit. Obviously, we want to, we're going to pray for someone to receive the Holy Spirit. We want to do that. And is it limited only to these people that could pray? No. I believe you could pray for someone because Jesus is the baptizer. We're just the instruments. And it's a point of contact, a point of faith. When we say, receive the Holy Spirit, then that's a place for you to say, yes, Lord. And just allow it to happen. Just receive the goodness of God. For the things He has for you, God says you need it. You need it. Father, we just ask right now that you come in this room, Holy Spirit, that you touch our hearts. You did in the upper room. You came down as tongues of fire, and they all began to speak in tongues. And we heard the story, Lord. People down below heard them speaking in their own language, and they said, what manner is this? What must we do to be saved? And thousands heard the message and responded to you, God. Father, you can do the same thing in our life. And we ask that you empower us, Holy Spirit. But we realize, Father, just like we needed to make a decision for you, Jesus, just like you tell us that we should be also baptized in water, then you also told the disciples that they need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit as well, infilled. And Lord, we know you want the same for us today. Today, that we might be victorious, successful Christians in this life. That others might know your love for them. That they might see the power of God. The same Jesus. You said you wanted to work the same things in our life. And today, God, we receive. We receive. I'm going to ask you right now, if just come up and find someone to pray. Just get in front of someone. We're going to pray and ask God just to fill us. Just step out. Don't wait. Don't wait. If you feel like God, you know, you heard the message. Now you decide, is it true or not? Is God lying or is this real? The word stands on its own. Do not let the devil keep you from getting something that God has intended for your blessing and for His glory. Do not let the devil rob God of the right to empower your life. Just find, if you're backed up, I'm over here. Someone can come over here too. And find someone. Okay, good. Someone. Can come? Huh? Doesn't matter either way. Okay. All right. You ready?
Thank you, Lord. Just get your hands.
If you're up here to receive, just lift your hands up. And for God, lift your hands up. Just lift them up when you're getting prayed for. Just like a child that reaches up to his daddy to be picked up. That's what you're doing. Say, Lord, I need your strength. Pick me up. Put me in your arms. Thank you, Lord.